What is your favorite movie so far? Have you watched the movie Braveheart? Have you heard of Braveheart? In one clip of the Braveheart movie, there's this Scottish warrior named William Wallace, and he challenged the ability of his best friend, Hamish. Hamish was a very huge warrior, and other Scottish soldiers, they applauded glee when Hamish tossed the huge rock to show off his strength, extraordinary strength, because he's a huge fellow. And Wallace told Hamish, "That was a good throw, but I was wondering if you could do that when it matters in battle. Could you crush a man with that huge rock?" "Well, I could crush you like worm," Hamish declared. Then Wallace took a few steps away from Hamish, challenging, "All right, throw that huge rock to me. Crush me with that huge rock." And Hamish tossed the huge rock, but it did not hit Wallace. And then Wallace fixed his eyes on Hamish with a stone in his hand, small stone in his hand. He also threw that little stone, and the stone found its way in the forehead of Wallace. Oh, now Hamish. And Hamish fainted and fell down on the ground. Did you watch that clip? Have you watched that clip? Indeed, great strength has advantage, but most often knowledge and skill has greater advantage. Remember the story of young David when he defeated the giant Goliath? It narrated in Samuel, chapter 17, verse 42 to 45. Let's read together. Goliath looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." David said to the Philistines, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied." It's possible. It's possible that we encounter spiritual battles any time of the week. The enemy of righteousness won't hesitate to attack us if given the chance. Where can we hide from the elements of darkness? What place in this world is completely invincible, secured from the attack of the element of darkness? We've got to be alert. Elements of darkness cause chaos anywhere, even in churches. Reflect on what happened when Jesus was in the wilderness. The devil approached Jesus and tested him. Let's read what it narrated in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 to 7. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Now the devil said, "He will command," look at that, "he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Do you know where the devil get that passage? It's in Psalms 91. If you have joined us last Sunday and we dedicated the car of Mailani, we read that Psalm 91. And this Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, the element of darkness can use this scripture better than many church attendees. Did you know that this come from the Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12? The devil knows it. So be prayerful. Seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit always. Always. When you think you are wise or you know what you are doing, be careful. That is when you may not know that the devil is scheming something against you. And anyone can be deceived. There are a lot of stories, you can find it online, about deceptive pastors, false teachers. And this can be an alarming reality. So pray for increase of faith in Christ. Keep on praying. Don't just relax. The Lord had already decreed what happens to the false teachers. But we need also to be alert. If those deceptive pastors won't repent and change their ways, the Lord had already prepared something for them. Let's reflect on what it declares in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. It happened in the first century Christianity. It happens to churches around the world. So do not take your spiritual life for granted. Be prayerful. Study the Word of God. Learn more about the scripture more seriously. Just test yourself. Are you enthusiastic of learning about which behavior is acceptable to God? Do you have that desire in your heart? I want to learn more how I can behave as child of God. Now, if you were adopted as child of a king, who is the King of Canada? King Charles. If King Charles declare and pick one of the Canadians and you were picked to be adopted prince or princess and you were required to live in the palace, Buckingham Palace, is that Buckingham? In the palace of the king, what will you do? Will you just go there and in your jeans and your t-shirt, favorite t-shirt and hoodie, and I'm the one chosen to be the son of the king? Or will you prepare for yourself? I want to behave and be bring glory and praise to the king. Will you do that? How much more with the Lord? Are you enthusiastic of learning about which behavior is acceptable for children of God? If so, it practically proves that you are bound to heaven. You are heaven bound. You are expecting yourself to enter heaven. Are the requirements of entering heaven, or are there any behavior required to enter heaven? The scripture has already defined that, has given that us. It's not very comfortable if you do not know how to behave as children of God when you enter heaven. Just as if you would enter Canada, for example, and you don't know how to speak English or French, you don't feel good if people are speaking English or French and you don't understand. That's not very good. Similarly, if you enter heaven and you don't know how to behave as child of God, then imagine that experience. Personally, are you enthusiastic of learning more about the Word of God? You have that enthusiasm. The Holy Spirit inspires enthusiasm to know what God requires for His children. If you don't have that enthusiasm, you need to pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who gives us that joy, that desire. It's not us, because our desire as humans, we want to resist God. We want to avoid God. We want to disobey God. That is the human nature. But the Holy Spirit enables us, help us to be enthusiastic and behave like children of God. But for spiritually dead people, they cannot sense that enthusiasm in the Word of God. They would just ignore the Word of God. They would just say, that Bible is just written by humans. It's like other books, history books, that we can read somewhere. That is how they would think, because they are spiritually dead. Who would enable us to accept the Bible, the Scripture, as Word of God? The Holy Spirit. A spiritually dead person, he has no urgency of preparing for the return of Christ. Do you have that urgency? That every day you would think, what if Christ returned today? Am I prepared? Do you have that? Let's read verse 29 of our passage. Now if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? Apostle Paul was asking the validity of this practice, baptizing for the dead. He was not endorsing it. He used it only to think of the idea of the resurrection of the dead. Because some Corinthians, they baptized the dead in the hope that those dead, unbaptized dead, would resurrect when Jesus returns. Now, listen carefully. Water baptism cannot save anyone. It cannot save anyone. Only by faith in Christ that we are saved. Okay? When you are baptized, in baptism, we are immersed. In water baptism, it is a public testimony when we are immersed that our old self died and buried with Christ. It's public testimony that our old life, the old Lorenzo has died when I baptized, I testified that my old self died. We publicly testify that old self died and buried. So when we get out of the water during water baptism, we publicly testify that we resurrected to new life in Christ. This is me. This is the new me when you get out of the water. That is the symbolism of water baptism. It cannot do anything about our salvation. Scholars suggest that some Corinthians were baptized for the sake of their unbaptized relative who died. So when they are baptized as proxy or substitute for the dead, they hope that the unbaptized dead relatives, may resurrect to paradise when Jesus Christ returns. Now, if they have 10 unbaptized relatives, for example, they will be baptized 11 times. One baptism for themselves and 10 baptism for or proxy or substitute for unbaptized dead. That's how they believe. But Apostle Paul did not endorse this. They were baptized as substitute and proxy of their unbaptized relatives. It sounds like magical sacrament. And there are denominations who are doing even in this generation. You can search the internet if you would like which denomination baptized for the dead. You can find that easily. But this baptism for the dead, this is contradiction. Contradiction to what it declares about the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 to 28. It says, let's read. Just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, there's this practice back in the Philippines where during Holy Week, people are trying to imitate the Lord Jesus and they crucify themselves as if they want to do what Jesus did. It's a mockery to what Jesus said. It's a mockery. It seems like a beautiful kind of activity, but they are mocking what Jesus Christ did and on the cross. We say everyone makes mistake and salvation is personal choice. And praying for the dead or being baptized for the dead, it cannot change the eternal destiny of the dead. A person who died faces judgment, either to enter heaven or to be thrown in hell. The dead cannot do anything for their eternal destiny. It clearly said, Christ was sacrificed once for all to take away the sins of many. Take note of that. It says, sins of many. Does the statement, take away the sins of many, mean that Christ did not take away sin of all sin of humanity? Was Christ's sacrifice, his sacrificial death, exclusive only for the many believers? Why did it say sins of many? Why? It did not say take away sin of all mankind. It did not. But let's reflect on what it declares in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, it's kind of like contradiction, right, to Hebrews. But Christ sacrificially died on the cross as punishment for all sins of humanity. Believers or not, he died for the sins of humanity. This mysterious truth of salvation for eternal, from salvation from eternal torture can only be accepted by faith in Christ. We accept it by faith in Christ. Without faith, they cannot believe that all sin had been crucified with Christ. And the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, they cannot believe that the shed blood of Jesus on the cross washed away all sins. They cannot believe that. Why? Because it is by faith we believe it. And if they do not believe that Christ died for their sins, they cannot believe that their sins were crucified with Christ. When Christ was crucified, the Lord took away all our sins and crucified all our sins with Christ. They cannot believe that. No one believes in Christ by logical explanation. You can cite the scripture, but they don't believe. Why? Because God designed it that by faith we believe in Christ. It's by faith that we believe. It's not by reason. It's not by logic that we believe. That faith comes from God also, the gift of faith. Why is it that I cannot believe? Because maybe they have, you don't have the faith that comes from God. Don't use faith that comes from you. To believe in Christ is faith that comes from God. Ask God, Lord, increase my faith. Faith does not come from us, because our natural tendency is to resist Christ, not to believe Christ. That is our natural tendency, the human nature. Christ sacrificially atoned for our sin. Christ sacrificially redeems us from sin. For the whole world. And it says that Christ took away the sin of many. The term many pertains to believers of Christ. So even if the Bible says, God says, I took all of your sins. If they cannot believe it, then their sin remains in them, maybe. I don't know. They think their sin is still with them, so that they cannot believe in Christ, so that they keep on following the sin. Have you heard of the fictional story that was told about a wild bird caught by a hunter, and the hunter strapped a string on 1 foot of the bird and nailed it on the ground, and nailed one end of the string on the ground, and the bird walked round and round and round the nail while the hunter waited for buyers. And late in the afternoon, someone bought the bird to set it free, because the buyer perhaps he feels so bad that the bird keep on walking around the nail, and maybe the person was fighting for bird's right or something. I don't know. But when it let the bird flew, it flew and then returned to the ground and continued walking around the nail. The bird did not realize that its freedom was purchased. The bird did not know that the string was removed. Jesus Christ died on the cross as payment for our freedom from the control of sin. Sin cannot control us anymore. The shed blood of Jesus washed away all our sins, so that before God, by faith we believe that we are blameless, flawless. He cannot see sin in us anymore. Why? Because by faith we believe the shed blood of Jesus washed away all our sin already. And the Lord himself took all our sins and nailed them on the cross. By faith we believe that we are free to follow godly righteousness, and sin cannot dictate our behavior anymore. Sin cannot dictate our behavior anymore. Now, if you are easily influenced and controlled by sin, pray, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. This sin is trying to convince me. Let me have that freedom from sin. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. The old has gone, the new is here. That is transformation. The old self prioritized the self. The new self prioritized the Lord. Do you sense that? You prioritize the Lord over the self. If you sense it, meaning there's that transformation in your life already happening. Naturally, we feel bad when we are oppressed. Don't you? Do you feel bad when you are oppressed? Yes, it's easy, right? But we can be prayerful. Even if others Other people would oppress you. We can pray. Praying for oppressors or the enemy or those who are not good to us, instead of retaliation, that is transformation, transformed life in Christ. Transformed life in Christ will be tested. If you were transformed, the Lord would allow you to be tested, to test if you really are transformed, so that you yourself will confirm, am I already transformed? And God may allow struggles. How do you behave during struggles? Are you prayerful or not? God will test our faith even for dangers. If you face dangers, dangers of losing your car, danger of losing your house, danger of losing your favorite best friend, or danger of losing even your loved ones. That is for God would allow that for us to test if we trust Christ. Let's read again verse 32. Let's read together. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, yes. Just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Let us drink. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll die. Apostle Paul testified that he faced death. He was in danger. He faced danger. He fought wild beasts. Nevertheless, he kept on preaching the gospel of Christ. He prioritized Christ instead of his safety. Now, listen carefully. If by faith we believe that the grace of God is sufficient, the testimony of Paul, he faced danger, he faced death every day, fought wild animals, but nothing happened, nothing of those terrible things ended his life. The grace of God is sufficient, was sufficient for him, so that he will be able to complete his mission purposes. Anything that may disturb us, anything that we think like it's hopeless, God will continue to guide us by his grace. We keep on doing the mission purposes he prepared for us until that mission purposes he had for us is accomplished. We can continue to trust him. By faith, his grace is sufficient. Paul believed that even if he died before Christ's return, he hoped that he would resurrect like Christ. Do you have that hope to resurrect when Christ returned? Many people indulge in wild parties, eating and drinking. Why? Don't they have hope of the resurrection of the dead? Don't they believe that about heaven or hell? Why are they not preparing for eternity? Reflect on your lifestyle. How's your lifestyle? How do we evaluate our priorities in life? Our lifestyle and behavior could display our eternal destiny. Do you think attending church regularly is enough proof of transformation? Is it because that you attend church that you think that you are already eternally bound? Well, there are many church attendees who are misled to think that way. Together, let's meditatively reflect on Luke chapter 15, verse 4 to 7. is the Lord Jesus saying, narrating, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven even over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The shepherd is glad, of course, that the sheep, 99 sheep, were secured. They were in the safe place. And certainly God is glad that we regularly attend church. Don't be mistaken about that. He's glad that you are here today. But there is more rejoicing in heaven. This is why it says there is more rejoicing. It did not say there is rejoicing. It says more rejoicing than the rejoicing of gathering of Christians. More rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents and turns to God. Well, when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior and repented of our sins, you can imagine that heaven rejoiced more. Now that you regularly attend church, God is still glad. But are you now free from sin? Can sin dictate your behavior? Are you free from sin? Can you easily ignore sin? When there's temptation, can you say no? Easily. How can we know if sin dictates our priorities and that we follow Christ? How can we know? How can we practically follow Christ in our daily activities? Now, if you are a manager, you appreciate employees who are punctual, right? Most manager, if I know, they would go to work earlier than many employees. They are good managers because they want to observe employees who are punctual. If you are a manager who appreciate employees who are punctual, you would be pleased to recommend salary increase. I would like to recommend this person for promotion or increase in salary because this person is very punctual. Likewise, does the Lord bless punctuality attending church? What do you think? Attending church punctually, this is a great initiative to spiritual adventure with Christ as Lord of priorities. It reflects our priorities. Saint Thomas Aquinas said, if the highest aim of a captain were to preserve his ship, he would keep it in port forever. He would not let that ship sail if the captain is the purpose of that ship. This is only for display. Ship at the port are damaged by rust. They will be destroyed eventually by rust, even if they will not sail. But ships are built to explore the ocean. Actual ships are not for display. Well, there are prototype ships made for display in the living room of buyers. Do you have that ship, prototype of Titanic in your living room? But that ship cannot sail on the ocean. The actual ships are built for adventure, not for display. Are you a prototype Christian for display at church? Or are you a Christian who explore what God prepared for you? Ask yourself. Christ purchased our freedom from sin, not for display at church. The Holy Spirit transforms us, inspires us to explore sharing the gospel of Christ. Have you discovered or have you experienced that joy of sharing the gospel of Christ, of leading someone to Christ? Personally, if I would tell you the most glorious experience I had in life was the time when I shared the gospel to my father. My father was very proud, religious church leader back in our hometown. He is always in front helping the priest since his youthhood. He did that until he was old. He was very proud. But that morning when I shared the gospel with him, he cried before me. He cried. Literally, his tears dropped from his eyes. That morning, I know that he sincerely trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So that when he died, my relatives, my siblings, everyone were crying, but me, I was just silent. Deep in my heart, I know that he trusted Jesus Christ when I told him, I shared with him the gospel. He read the Bible. Truly, he read the Bible. Every day I can see him with his weak eyes using my microscope, magnifying glass, just to read that small letters in the Bible, morning by morning. That's how religious my father was. But he did not understand. And he said, this time I understand, because it is by faith. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that we understand the gospel. That was the most memorable, glorious moment I have experienced in life. If you haven't experienced yet such moment, then pray for opportunity that you may be able to share the gospel, especially to your friend, relatives, loved ones, not just to strangers. I've shared the gospel to strangers, but I feel that joy too. But the deep joy in me when I saw my father cried. Every time I remember, I feel that joy in me. You know, when you were so glad and you want to cry, that is the feeling of it. You feel like the best way to express your joy is to cry. That experience, explore that. As proof of resurrection to new life in Christ, we prioritize our mission purpose. Our mission purpose is to witness for Christ, tell others, testify of the transformation He has done in our lives. And then we make disciple what the Lord would like us, who the Lord would like us to disciple. Priority in life practically shows that if we are already saved from eternal destruction. If you are saved from eternal destruction, you know that your priorities is to bring glory to the Lord. Let's read again verse 33 of our passage. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. When it says bad company corrupts good character, what do you think? People who reject Christ are in danger of possible eternal destruction. They have no concern about eternal destiny. Do you have concern of your eternal destiny? They reject the idea of heaven and hell. They say, heaven is just in the mind, hell is just something. That is how they think, because they are bound for eternal destruction. They are spiritually dead. The Lord did not command us to avoid them anyway. The Lord did not command us to reject those who reject Christ. But we are warned of corruption of character if we are not careful of bad company. When we are with bad companies, be prayerful. Instead, pray that you would be given opportunity to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul told the Corinthians to return to their senses and stop sinning. Why? Because there were false teachers who caused division in the church of Corinth. They were indulging in drinking and eating in immorality. They did not believe that the dead will resurrect like Christ. As heaven-bound Christians, what should be our priority? We testify that Christ has transformed us. So when we are with people who don't believe in Christ, be alert how you speak, how you behave. They will observe that you're different. But pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can love them. And you have that peace also, that joy. Testifying for Christ. We want to disciple believers. We want to grow spiritually mature. Later, let's reflect on what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 says. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In the thing you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Now when it says, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others, that is discipleship. You know that they will be reliable to teach others when you yourself disciple them. Now, one time I was watching a YouTube and I find some of the Filipino people, Filipino police, Filipino military, they are in Dubai and competing in many things. And the Filipinos are really good. They are good in using firearms. They are so quick. And you can watch that and you feel proud that you're originally Filipinos. Now imagine if you were a trainer in the military, you never tried to fire rifle before. But you were a trainer. I don't know why they would get a trainer who had not fired a rifle. What will you do? And you will read articles, instruction. This is how to fire a rifle. Then you told your trainees, according to this article, this is how you would fire a rifle. Go, try it, and report to me. How will your trainees respond? Will they follow you? Certainly they will ignore you, because you never tried how to actually use rifles. Similarly, Christians heard how to make disciples, but they have not grown mature as disciples of Christ just yet. How can we know that we have grown mature as disciples of Christ and not remained infant believers of Christ? Of course, infant believers of Christ do not know yet anything, cannot even speak. Those are infants. The Corinthian church had faction, they had division. They followed leaders they preferred. They were loyal to the leaders they preferred, not to the church, the body of Christ. Ask yourself, are you loyal to the church? the body of Christ, or to leaders you prefer. Some leaders may have personal agenda, but pray that our leaders prioritize the Lord. Together, let's seriously reflect what it admonishes in 3 John 9, verse 11. Dear friend, do not imitate what is good, but do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Do you strongly believe that elected leaders were chosen by God? Do you believe? Do you believe that when you elect leaders, they were chosen by God? God chose leaders to exemplify responsible behavior. But if leaders prioritize their personal agenda, maybe they are confused about their spiritual priorities. Surely we are inclined to complain, but we find no time to complain if we pray for our leaders. If you are praying for your leaders, for our leaders, you have no time to complain. We pray for our spiritual priorities and the spiritual priorities of our leaders. Would God not bless us more if we do that? Now, the celebration of the Lord's Supper reminds us that elected leaders in ordinary people need a Savior. And Christ transforms us. But sinful nature confuses us sometimes. Anyone make mistakes? By faith we trust the Lord. We trust that the Lord crucified our sins with Christ, including shame, including guilt from our sins, since when we were younger. And may God empowers us always to imitate what is pleasant in His eyes. And as we prepare for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, let's take this time to reflect of our faith. Have I believed that Christ died for my sin? Do I believe that the Lord took all my sins and crucified them with Christ? Do I believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ washed away our sins? The Lord's Supper element, the bread, symbolizes the body of Christ crucified on the cross. We take it a symbol that we believe that our sins were crucified with the body of Christ. The cup that we drink symbolizes the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. We take it, we drink it. It symbolizes that we believe that the shed blood of Christ washed away all our sins. We celebrate the Lord's Supper every first Sunday of the month, regularly. And everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are welcome to join us, even if you are not members of this church yet. Let's pray.